God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this house. Thank you, God, for the songs of Zion, Lord, the words of exhortation, the testimonies tonight. Father, you are good, you are great, you are mighty. You're everything we need, and we worship you for it. We praise you for it, God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, we ask you, God, to continue to strengthen us with your word tonight. Praise your holy name. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. I've not got an opening scripture here tonight. I'm going to do it just a little bit different this evening. Amen. I just want to give you my title to start with. I want to share tonight just for a little while, and it may be short. It may just be a short message tonight. I've only got a page and a half, so that's an hour and a half, right? That's short. Yeah, okay, that's good. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I want to talk about something that's very familiar, and you may wonder, why are we preaching on this? And sometimes I wonder why I preach on what I preach, but I preach whatever the Lord lays on my heart, and then I find out usually when it's done, there was definitely a purpose, a plan, as always with our God. So I want to preach tonight on the three dimensions of grace. How many love grace? Hallelujah. Oh, the grace of God. The three dimensions of the grace that God shows and moves and works towards you and I. It says the word grace is mentioned in the Bible some 159 times. And of these times, there are three different categories the word grace may fall under. And in the New Testament, and I shared this here just, I don't know, maybe a month ago, and the Greek word is charis, and it's translated grace. And it means graciousness, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. It also means acceptable, benefit, favor, and then that's where the most common definition of grace is unmerited favor. The grace of God. But I really don't think that does the word justice. Because that just means, well, then God doesn't really have any interest in me. He just looks down and says, oh, you need it. But when we understand the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life that brings forth gratitude, that means it's God revealing God unto me. It's no matter where I'm at, no matter what situation I may be in, God's grace is His divine influence, His Holy Ghost, if you will, that comes on the scene in every scenario, every situation. And as Brother Roberts kind of already exhorted, that if I have a need and I come to the house of God with a need and I will press towards God, then God will minister to that need. And what is that? Well, that's that grace of God, that divine influence coming down for the circumstance and the situation that I may be in. And so I want you to keep that definition in mind as we look at grace. Number one is just called natural grace. In the scriptures, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The natural grace of God's creation. He created the earth. He created the atmosphere. It is the grace of God that you're breathing tonight. Hallelujah. That we have oxygen in the air at a right level that we can survive on the face of this earth. That's God's natural grace. When it rains for your gardens, it rains for the crops, it rains for those who have a grass mowing business, and the grass grows so you can stay in business. That's natural grace. That's just God moving on the face of this earth to keep it inhabitable by all mankind. That's just simply the natural grace of an almighty God, that he created all things and he created them good, and then man kind of messed it up, which then open the door for the next dimension of grace. You see, the next dimension of grace, you move past the natural grace, is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Hallelujah. Redeeming grace. The second dimension of grace is the redeeming grace. Hallelujah. The grace that we experience at the cross. Hallelujah. That grace, and I can, I don't know about you, I trust that you can, but you should be able to stroll back down memory's lane, and you should be able to find that moment of time when redeeming grace came alive in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. You should be able to point to the time when you were redeemed. Point to the time when you was washed in the blood. Point to the time when your sins were washed away. Point to the time when you were born again by the Spirit of God, when that redeeming grace showed up, that divine influence of the Holy Ghost of God began to arrest your mind, arrest your heart, and bring you to a place of humility, and thus seeing your need for the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ and his precious blood. That is the redeeming grace of an almighty God. Nobody thinks they need to be saved until God, through the Holy Ghost, begins to reveal unto them their need of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. You see, it was very difficult for God to get this boy to turn from himself and turn to God, because he had a great pedigree of church attendance. And I've shared this multitudes of times, but you see, that's sometimes the hardest ones to win. The ones that's been to church all their lives, and yet they've not experienced redeeming grace. They've not been born again by the Spirit of God. They've not entered into that newness of life. They are just going through the habit of Christianity. They are just going through the habit of going to church. They are just going through the habit of worship. And there is no life there. They're just doing it because everybody else is doing it. They're doing it because they know it's right to do, but something's still missing on the inside. The redeeming grace of God has not showed up in its magnitude as of yet, but yet it's still there, because it's drawing all men unto Jesus Christ and drawing them away from their self and their sin. Wow. And to me, it's really ironic, because of how I got saved and what I had to say to get saved, because I'm the type of individual that I like to be on top of the situation, in control of the situation, know everything about the situation, analyze the situation. And you would have thought that I would have surveyed it all and said, "Yes, that's what I want." See, there's a measure of thing called pride. Pride is what keeps men and women from redeeming grace. Self-righteousness keeps men and women from redeeming grace. Remember what it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Pride. You see, that's why it's redeeming grace. It's a divine influence of the Holy Ghost of God bringing me to the reality of how incapable I am of doing what God would have me to do. And that's why I need that divine influence in my heart, bringing that reflection into my life, and thus bringing gratitude. You see, that was the first thing. The first thing when Jesus washed my sins away, you want to know what the first thing was? It was gratitude. It was, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And it brought that grace, that divine influence. And then when that redeeming grace redeemed my soul and washed my sins away, the gratitude was the first thing, the immediate thing, the joy of salvation. Hallelujah. I knew not the theology of salvation. Sad to say, raised in church all my life, but had no idea what the theology of salvation was. And I knew not what had transpired in my life, but I knew this one thing. I had changed, God had changed me, and I was a new man. I felt different, thought different, and wanted different things. Woo, hallelujah. What was that? Well, that was that second dimension of the grace of God redeeming me from myself, redeeming me from my sin, redeeming me. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Washing my sins away. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. His grace. Justified. Just as if I never did. Justified. Through the redeeming grace of God. Hallelujah. I want that to sink in just a little bit. See, this leaves no room that I can brag or boast or think I did something, because if I would have kept on doing what I thought I needed to do, I'd still be lost today. No. I received that gift. Hallelujah. I quit trying to earn it. I quit trying to figure it out. And I finally just said, I want it. Hallelujah. And that's when he brought it. And just to make a long story short, that's the same way I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I quit trying to figure it out. I quit trying to do it my way. And I finally just came to the place. I said, Lord, just I want to be filled with your Spirit. And he filled me. Fought it for a year and a half by trying to do it my way, figure it out, analyze it. And then, you know, that's okay. I mean, if your mind frame is that way, your temperance that way, but sooner or later, you're going to have to get over that. Just say yes. Ooh, hallelujah. You can get baptized in the Holy Ghost right delivering mail. Right in front of an apartment complex full of mailboxes right there, and just get filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, just why? Because you're praising God and said, here I am. Woo, glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Redeeming grace. Grace at the cross. That second dimension of grace. And so now once we've experienced redeeming grace, then we move on to grace after the cross. You see, you're never going to outrun grace, and you're never going to get to the place where you do not need it. Can I say that again? You're never going to outrun grace. You're never going to get to the place where you're not going to need God's grace, that divine influence of God, because really that's what you're after. As a child of God, is the divine influence of God, being led by the Holy Ghost of God, being led by the Spirit of God, being led into the Word of God. Amen. That divine influence, that grace of an Almighty God, transforming grace. I got a question for you. Don't you just love it when I ask you questions? How many want to be transformed? Your first thought is very reserved, isn't it? Transform. Well, now what does that take? And what does that include? And what part do you want transformed in? That's the problem. Woo! Now, I understand that completely. Once again, I've done kind of revealed my temperament. I analyze things. I look at things. I figure things out. I take it up, take it down, take it sideways. And, okay, yep, no, yep, that'll work right there. So when God asks me something, I've got to override that and just say yes. That is very difficult to do. I'll tell you that right here, right up front. But that's that respond time that I've learned over the years. Sometimes you're going to miss it when you don't respond to God that quick. you're just going to miss it. I mean, because sometimes God comes by and he speaks to your heart and he wants you to move right then and there. And then you say, well, now, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do it. And you'll miss it. It'll be gone and you won't get it again. Well, now, that's awful mean of God. No, now, is it? Tell me one thing God's done wrong to you. Then why would you hesitate? Hello? Yeah, why would you doubt your God? He's never done anything to make you doubt. Now, the devil has. But when God comes knocking, why would you not just go ahead and respond? Because he's not going to do you anything but good. Ooh, I had to learn that. Hallelujah. And that's what transforming grace is all about, because it's grace after the cross. Grace after redemption. Titus chapter number 2. Beginning at verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking. Ooh, everybody will be happy over there. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, John 3:16, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Woo, hallelujah, zealous. I mean, that's talking about nose to the grindstone. That's talking about, yeah, let me add it. That's zealous unto good work. What can I do for Jesus? Hallelujah. I mean, what can I do for the Lord? Now, don't get your preconceived ideas of what you think you're going to do for Jesus. This is where responding comes. Led of the grace of God, led of the Spirit of God. You do what he bids you to do is what you learn to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whoa. You see a need. You minister to it. Glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Lucas was exhorting us and saying we don't have to wait, you know, until we're saved 30, 40, 50 years before we do something for Jesus. When I got saved, that's all I wanted to do was something for Jesus. I mean, I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Found out real quick, not everybody wants to hear about Jesus, but I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, told my friends about Jesus, and it wasn't within a month, I didn't have those friends anymore. I just didn't, because I didn't run the way I used to run. I didn't do the things I used to do. Jesus saved me, and I just let them know the joy and the salvation and what God has done, and, sad to say, don't tell anybody, but they were Christian friends. I was just getting plumb radical, because I just wasn't acting like I used to act. I wasn't saying the things I used to say and wasn't desiring the things I used to desire, because I'd been washed in the blood and I'd been born again. New life, new desires. I was changed. Hallelujah. Well, I still had some rough areas and some rough spots, and I still wrestled with pride, and I still got angry from time to time, but I sure didn't cuss anymore. I don't know what it is, but there's certain things when people get saved, there's some things they just don't do anymore. I quit tobacco, I quit drinking, and I quit cussing. Nobody had to tell me to, I just did. Well, I guess God told me, but I mean, you know, nobody else told me. Hallelujah. And so the grace of God, this third phase of grace, this transforming grace, and he lets us know that his grace appears unto all men. I mean, the natural grace, the redeeming grace, and then this transforming grace has an extra oomph to it, if I can use that word, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, you don't want to lose that first love. That first love is what brought about change in me of no more cussing, no more alcohol, no more tobacco, things like that, because it was that grace of God that automatically taught me that in that new creature that he created inside of me, those were things that I just had common knowledge of that just probably wouldn't be good to do, even though I was a quote-unquote Christian doing those things. Then I got saved. Praise God. I hope you caught that. Praise God. You see, ungodliness speaks of our Adamic nature. The sin nature, the ungodly nature, God's grace begins to reveal that ugliness of ungodliness. Yeah, I mean, ugliness sometimes can be more than actions and deeds. It can be attitudes and words. And ungodliness means a lack of love or a lack of God-likeness. And so ungodliness is talking about selfishness. Because the sin nature is the epitome of selfishness. Only living for what I want. Only living for what I think makes me happy. That's ungodliness. Godliness is I'm living for Jesus, and that's the greatest joy I've ever had in my entire life. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. But ungodliness is the fallen nature, and worldly lust speaks of the fallen environment or system that is around me. The cosmos. The world. And so we got to understand when the sin nature is totally influenced by the worldly lusts, it produces nothing but defilement and sin and every vile deed sooner or later. What is the little proverb? Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. That's true. It's just so sad so many people don't see it when they have the opportunity and God's grace starts moving upon their lives. And they push back the grace of God, receive the grace of God in vain. They may move with God for a little bit and then they push it back thinking their desires will bring more joy than what God would. Wow. The thief entered in there, didn't he? The deceiver entered in there. But this transforming grace then begins to take my life. It begins to help me live past the sin nature. Doesn't annihilate it, but it gives me a strength to overcome it. That's why that old nature's not going to go away, and the temptations will come, and the tests will come, and the trials will come, and default will show up from time to time. How many understand what I mean when I say default? The way you used to act will show up from time to time when you fail to enter into that abundance of joy. And when you fail to enter into the presence of God, when you fail to, the old-fashioned term, pray through to a brand new surrender to Christ. Hallelujah. You know, we sing a song from time to time, I just started living, I got me a brand new life. But when I sing that song, I'm not talking about 39 years ago when I got saved. I'm talking about today. Hallelujah. And today's a brand new day, which means a brand new life and a brand new commitment to Christ and a brand new living. Hallelujah. Praise God, full of the Holy Ghost, walking with God. And so you see, this transforming grace never stops. Because there are times I need transformed again. Woo, there are times I move to default. Yeah, that's when arguments come. That's when mistakes come. That's when words are said that should have never been said. That's when attitudes arise. And we wish they had never come up. Woo! That's when tempers fly. Oh, my, am I meddling yet? Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, that old man, he's still there. But it's the new man that I've got to lay a hold of, that transforming grace, divine influence of God on my life that results in being seen in my activity and my gratitude. Hallelujah. You see, gratitude is a powerful thing. It's already been shared this day that it is. Worship, praising God. We sing the chorus, "This is how I fight my battle." Some may not understand that. That just means they've not moved to that realm of understanding that praising God, thanking God, magnifying God, moving into the presence of God gives me the advantage over the deceiver. And this is how I fight my battles. Hallelujah. I enter into the presence of my God. That grace. Wow. Remember, 159 times it spoke about God's word, according to that one commentator. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able. Wow. Does that mean anything to anybody? Can we say it together? And God is able to make all grace. Woo! Abound toward you. Oh, wow. All divine influence abound towards you. Wow. You realize that means Jesus wants to lead your life? He wants to take your life and begin to lead your life into the very purpose and plan that He has for it. Woo! And all I have to do is let grace have her perfect work in me. Hallelujah, letting that divine influence, that Spirit of God, that Word of God, that grace. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things. Did you read this, Brother Lucas, here tonight? Something similar to it, didn't you? I thought you did. Man, we've gone good wavelengths here lately. Praise God. Having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. Are you getting the picture yet that everything about Christianity is talking about good? Good work, good words, good attitude, good thanksgiving, good, good. You want to know why? Because when God created all things, what did He say it was? He said it was good. And so that means when redeeming grace shows up, goodness comes back into our lives. And when transforming grace is allowed to be active in our lives, then goodness is the reflection. Woo! Good works is the reflection. Hallelujah. Saying the right words is the reflection. Having joy is a reflection. Praise God. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Now, you might wonder, these scriptures may not have the word grace in them, but they have the implication of what grace brings into my life. That divine influence coming my way through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, via the Holy Ghost. I'm crucified with Him, but yet I'm living with Him because I'm allowing Him to live in me. And the faith that I have is in the Son of God and not in myself. Oh, my. I must learn rapidly. There is no good thing that dwells within me personally. The only good thing that dwells within me is Christ. Hallelujah. And when I abide in Him and He is leading in my life, then I will have greatness of life and I will have grace displayed from my life, and there will be the goodness of God flowing from my life in every aspect of my life. Hallelujah. My mind frame. Wow. Hallelujah. My mind frame. Woo, my. Do you realize that how you think is really what you're going to end up doing? If you can defeat yourself right there in your mind, then you will be defeated. But if you will allow the grace of God to divinely influence your mind, and you start believing God's word, hallelujah, and you start working and acting accordingly, hallelujah, you're going to find yourself victorious in Jesus Christ, because it is the promise of God. Whew. We've got to understand, divine influence doesn't mean I will do it. Have you ever received counsel and you knew it was right counsel, and then you just went ahead and did what you wanted to do? Everybody raise your hand. We've all done it. We've all done it. See, just because divine grace is there influencing does not mean I will be victorious. The changing factor is when I allow the influence then to direct my path. Glory. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now remember, I'm talking about transforming grace. I'm talking about the third dimension of grace, grace after the cross. What the grace of God after I'm saved. The grace of God while I'm living for God and living on this earth, anticipating the coming of the Lord. This grace of God, this part of divine influence, is trying to lead me away from sin and away from this world system. We've got to understand that worldliness does not have a definite definition. Worldliness is the system of the world. And the system of the world is constantly changing now because of technology. But the system of the world will always influence you away from godliness and righteousness, because it is corrupt. It is depraved. This is why we can't allow the world and its system and its values to influence any of our decisions. I hope you've never said this. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, you know what my response is to that? Well, it doesn't make any difference what everybody else is doing. What would Jesus do? You see, the world is going to do its utmost best with its system to influence your thinking, to where your thinking starts moving down to a lower level of thinking instead of the high and lofty ways of God. God's ways are not man's ways. That means they're going to be inconvenient for the flesh. They're going to be inconvenient for the natural man. They're going to be inconvenient for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But they're the right ways of God. Hallelujah. And one day we're going to lay down this old body of clay, and we're going to have a new body, and we're going to be in heaven, and we're not going to have to battle ungodliness. We're not going to have to battle the world system and the values thereof, because we're going to be a new creature, new body, and we're going to be in eternal life. Hallelujah. And therefore ever be with the Lord, worshiping him and living righteous. It's not going to be any different in heaven as far as living. Hello? The only difference is where we're going to be living. We're still going to be living holy. We're still going to be living righteous. We're still going to be living pure. Are you getting the picture? Hallelujah. A lot of folks, I had this mentality myself before I got saved. I'll just wait till when I get to heaven. That's when I'll change. I think a lot of folks have that definition. I really do. No. Transforming grace says you're going to change right now in this present world. Hallelujah. You're going to live like Jesus right here, right now, and you're going to enjoy it. Praise God. Why? Because it is the greatest joy on the face of the earth to be doing the will of God in a child of God's life. Woo, hallelujah. I mean, the only time I've ever experienced misery is when I got out of the will of God. When I kept telling God I couldn't do what he was asking me to do. And I see I'm hitting home. I'm hitting home some places here tonight. I'm seeing smiles, I'm seeing frowns, and I'm seeing yawns. Praise God. Woo! I've got it all covered here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory. So henceforth, we should not serve sin. Who are we serving? We're serving God. We're serving Jesus. We are entering in and accepting graciously, if I can put it like that, that transforming grace of God. Because it's perpetual. I'm going to need it as long as I'm on the face of this earth. Because there's always something going to arise that comes against me. That tries to get me to be that old ugly person I can be. Mm-hmm. It's going to be there. It's going to wait. It's just going to pounce. I'm not trying to scare anybody. We could turn out all the lights here tonight and have everybody walk around in the dark and just see how scary this church is when it's dark in here. It is. You know, because you come through the doors. I come in here quite often. It's just totally dark. And your mind runs, what if there's something over in the dark? Well, if there is, it is. It's over there. I'm over here. So what difference does it make? Yeah. I do. Sometimes I'm walking through the dark in here. And I'm thinking, you know what? If somebody just jumps out, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to pop them in the nose. That's what I'm going to do. So if you're in here and you think you're going to scare the pastor, you might think twice, because I don't think twice. Hallelujah. I respond immediately. Praise God. Woo! My. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. He wants us to come. Where are we going? Unto the throne of grace. Oh, that divine influence, hallelujah, that's reflected in my life by gratitude, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. I preach this quite often. I talk about it quite often. You know, we always, you know, everybody will try to lay hold of grace after they've fallen, because they don't want to stay in a fallen condition. But I always try to encourage people to understand the same grace is on the front side of a temptation. The same power is on the front side of a temptation. And so when the enemy comes to tempt, that's when I boldly go to the throne of grace, there to find mercy and to find grace to help in the time of need. Brother Robert, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. If I've got a need, then where do I go? I go to the throne room of grace. That divine influence of an almighty God wanting to help me and direct my paths so that I can overcome the time when the deceiver comes against me, the lies come against me, the fear comes against me, when everything's coming against me, there is still the grace of an almighty God that will help me in my time of need. But I have to go there and believe him. Hallelujah. And why should I doubt? I've been living for Jesus for 39 years plus now. And Jesus, the Father, the Holy Ghost, has never, ever left me nor failed me yet. That's why I do my best to believe in the face of fear. Hallelujah. Because courage is not the absence of fear. It is the presence of grace. Woo, hallelujah. That I'm gonna go through. Hallelujah. And God is gonna be with me. Is that not what little David experienced? Oh, when he went to face Goliath, Goliath was well bigger than him, stronger than him. It wasn't smarter than him because he didn't serve God. But the reality of going up against such an opponent was nothing more than the grace of God moving in David's heart and life. Hallelujah. Because it was divine influence. Why? Because he'd already experienced that divine influence in everyday life of keeping the sheep. The lion, the bear. He'd already experienced that grace of an almighty God and the power of that almighty God. And he knew beyond any shadow of a doubt, even though there was probably fear there. I'd be a fool to say there wasn't fear there. There's been much stipulation and room for interpretation. Why do you pick up 5 smooth stones? It's just sheer speculation. Some got a little bold and said Goliath had 4 brothers. It preaches. I think it was that measure of fear. He had no idea how God was going to do it. And so he was just preparing himself with enough ammunition that if he missed the first time, he'd have a second, third, fourth, and fifth. He wasn't going to quit. That's what I believe it was. Hallelujah. He knew his God was going to do it, but he did not know how. Woo! Glory. Grace. That's what grace will bring into our hearts, into our minds, is that confidence in our God. And we may not know how God's going to do it. We know he is. Woo, hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to our God. Lift your hands unto the Lord. Give him thanksgiving. Give him praise. Glory to God. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for natural grace. We thank you, God, for the creation, Lord God, of this earth, this world, our very lives, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us. You have washed us. Lord, you have written our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, we are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, created after his image. Glory to our God. And your grace is still moving and working in our lives to help us keep going forward, battle after battle, test after test, trial after trial, victory after victory, thus bringing joy every time your grace shows up. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Every time. Every time. Every time. Oh, glory to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to our God. Amen. If you're here tonight and you've got a need, praise God. You got a need. You want to be prayed for. You just got a need that you don't want to share with anybody, but you've got a need. You got something on your heart. You got something on your mind. You got something troubling you, something bothering you. Just, it makes no difference how small or how big, because God's grace is expendable. Hallelujah. Because it just arises for whatever the need may be. Hallelujah. Is there any more? Brother Terry's already come. Just come. Come. Line up across the front of the church here. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, it's going to be God's grace that comes on the scene. It's going to be God's grace that whispers to our hearts. It's going to be God's grace, hallelujah, that lets us know all that next step we need to take. Is there any more? Hallelujah. Oh, just come down. If you got a need, no matter how small, no matter how great, just make your way down. Line up across the front here. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah to the King. Praise God. Everybody else, if you would, just come in. Kind of fall in there behind them a little bit. Y'all would just move up just maybe one step.